and good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Kayla Betcher, the executive director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival, and Zul Bailey, the artistic director. How are you both doing this morning?
Very well.
Good morning, Emily.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome back to our studio to talk about this amazing festival. So, who are some of the performers that are new this year, and who are some returning favorites that you are excited about?
Well, I'll take that one. It's always a puzzle. I have like this little percentage chart that I always try to follow, which is 60% new and 40% or 70%. It's always a few familiar favorites, but I always try to bring in people that I know that Sitka will love, and that the people who putting together each week is like putting together the perfect dinner party of people being together, because they inspire each other, they have a great time, then they bring it to the stage and bring it to all of us. So the first week, the returning favorite is Nava Perlman, and she's a wonderful pianist. Who I've known for decades now, actually 2 decades, and we the closest of friends. And then I brought in. Would you like me to go through all the artists, or what would you like me to do?
Some that are your that you're excited to have well, brought to Sitka.
I think an unusual one this week, beyond the norm, is kind of how people find their way into the music world through their instrument, but maybe they don't focus on their instrument, is Martin Schur. Martin Schur, I met in the 1980s as a violinist. In the 1990s, he became, we went to school together in Baltimore as a violinist. Then he switched to viola. And
at school.
Yes. And then got into the Colorado Symphony as a violist, and then began subbing with the Berlin Philharmonic.
Wow.
As a violist, and then decided, nah, he wants to be more of an administrator and kind of control the bigger picture, because he didn't like or feel comfortable with the way things were being done. So he went into the League of American Symphony Orchestras, and now runs the North Carolina Symphony as the VP of artistic programming and things like this. But he's still a violist.
Wow.
And a violinist.
Wow.
And so he was also my roommate in college.
Okay. And were you there for all these trying conversations about, do I do this? Do I do that?
Oh, he didn't certainly ask me if he should do those things, but I watched. I just watched, you know, because you don't know if someone's going to succeed or be happy or what. You just kind of, whatever works. And so long story short, he's in North Carolina. I've performed a lot with the North Carolina Symphony. We hang out. We know each other as friends forever. And one day I just asked him, so when's the last time you played the viola? This is about a year ago. He said, I try to play as much as I can, but it's more difficult. I said, well, if I give you an opportunity to pull it back out again, could you be in shape and feel good about it? He said, oh, no. Sitka? And I said, yes. And I said, I want to build a week of friendships and old friendships and new friendships. And he completely agreed. And he said, can I bring my family? And so his entire family's here with him. Yeah. And but he's a guy that's so multifaceted, as many of our artists are, it's really nice to have him here, because again, it's about family and friendships and sharing music.
And this is Martin Schur.
Martin Schur. S-H-E-R.
Okay. And that's part of the beauty of this festival, is it's just as much about the people who are playing these instruments as it is about the music and
well,
who they are.
And I'll follow that up with my predecessor and our founder, Paul Rosenthal. I once asked him, I was able to shadow him for several years here and just watch him work. And he's just such a master at what he does. And I one day just said, so who are your favorite performers in history? Because I collect recordings and I listen to things all the time. And he goes, oh, that's very easy. My friends. And I thought, well, that's a perfect answer, because the people you know, truly know and trust, you want to hear tell the story. And so I started thinking differently about who I would want to invite and who I'd want to be around. And You know, there's that wall that's not there with your friends, that you don't have to be something you're not, then you can be free to express. And then if I can bring them all together that way, that they all feel that way via one degree of separation, me, then we'll have the ultimate musical experience.
Yeah, and kind of temporary community that you're bringing to Sitka for so many people who are enthusiasts and perhaps have never gone to as many concerts as they'd like to. What are some of the highlights for this week? You're kicking off the festival this week, and you're giving a talk tonight at 5:30 that will preview some of what's going to happen. But Kayla, what's on the list for the next few days?
So our schedule follows a pretty predictable template week to week throughout the month of June. And so every Tuesday at 5:30 this month, there will be a discussion like this. Many of them will be led by Susan Reed, who has done some of the educational components of the festival for, I have no idea how long, decades probably. She's a retired music educator from Anchorage and lovely woman and a friend to many in Sitka. And so between Zuhl and Susan, they'll be leading these discussions on Tuesdays that always previews the week ahead. Wednesdays are our cafe concerts, and they're at 6:30 every Wednesday in a different restaurant around town. So tomorrow night it'll be at the Westmark in the dining room. And those are both free events in that, you know, we don't charge a ticket price for coming to them. At the cafe concerts, the biggest challenge is finding a seat in some of the places.
How can you guarantee a seat? Is there a way? You can't put a little card on the back?
The cafe concert?
You
just get there early.
You can. You get there early and settle in with your first snack or beverage or whatever.
I would say the one that it's, we're doing the Larkspur this year, yes?
Yeah.
That's the hardest one, I think, because that's also where we started it. We started this whole series at the Larkspur, and that's the one that seems like it's about to explode with capacity each time. Like truly, there's no room, and we have to actually rope off a section for the performers because they start getting closer and closer and closer. Where there's just no room.
They'll get muscled out of there.
That's the whole point. Is that sense of intimacy? And you could talk about this better about how chamber music actually started in pubs, in restaurants, in these kinds of social settings, and we're just trying to pick up on that theme and make that possible here during this festival.
What kind of settings? I mean, so we were playing some Brahms. Was that of his era? And how was this music originally meant to be heard? I think that's interesting.
Well, to follow up on what Kayla just said, was meant, most of this music when it was written centuries ago or whatnot, were not really meant how do I put this? It was described to me one time that first of all, that a lot of this music was only heard one time for people in history because they didn't have recordings. If you think about that, they would unveil this music at a party, at a king's castle, at a soiree, and usually one movement at a time. A lot of times this music was presented in these little snippets where, again, it was just a dinner party and people were there to gather to be together. And this was the entertainment. It wasn't necessarily the feature and why people were there.
So you're creating that a little bit at the festival.
And over the centuries, this turned into these full-blown concerts where we're supposed to sit still and we listen to the entire masterpiece. And now, today, in history, we can buy the recording. We can go home and relive it, make it very, very familiar, come back and hear something different and go deeper. But in that time, they couldn't. So what we do with these these cafe concerts is we try to recreate a very, very relaxed feel where we play snippets of things from the week in a way that they would have then. And the rules are there are no real rules. The musicians can talk when they want to. They can stop when they want to. It's kind of a free-for-all of creative outlets.
Okay. And then what about the rest of the week?
Then on Thursdays, we're doing box lunches. And they're at 12:30 this year for folks who have been familiar with that in the past. This week's is at Allen Hall. And next week's also, the last two at Centennial Hall. Fridays and Thursdays, not this week, but the other Thursdays, we'll do our musical movie nights featuring films that have some sort of musical element to them. Fridays and Saturdays are our formal evening concerts at Centennial Hall. And then Sundays, we do a special event. And so this Sunday, it's the family concert, which is free and open to all ages. And it's at the Sheikh Kwan Nakahiti, starting at 3 o'clock this Sunday. And we follow that up with root beer floats donated by C-Mart. So it's always, that's a really fun event, great, and yeah, everybody should come out.
So this festival is in its 8th year. What?
No. The festival is in its 44th year.
This is your 8th year.
Yeah.
Thank you for now, that is key. This festival, what major developments have happened within the past year that have changed how you operate?
Well, let me, because I want to talk about Kayla for a moment here. But the festival was founded in 1972 by Paul Rosenthal. In 2007, I came here for the first time as a participant. 2008, he took me aside. He invited me back, and he took me aside and asked if I would be his successor, and that he'd been really looking for someone that could make sure that that what he had created continued to live on and continued to impact Alaska as a whole, and that would take it to another level with new energy, et cetera, et cetera. For 3 years, I shadowed him. 2011 was his 40th festival. 2012 was my first as the sole artistic director. In 2010, a situation came up that he pushed me into, Paul did, into, because it would be the next chapter. And that was the idea of having the mothership, the headquarters here in Sitka. And that was when Sheldon Jackson College became an option of real estate for a lot of things. And 2011, we started meeting, and we were able to secure the rights in 2011 to buy this building, Stevenson Hall. We had an angel help us to get it off the market. Mm. And then Kayla came on board as the executive director soon after.
2012.
And this team, this really truly great team here, of gathering and making these dreams happen by actually making them happen, really came to a head this past year, where we financially, legally, in every possible way, made Stevenson ours. We bought it. It's in our name now. The Sitka Summer Music Festival has a permanent home now. It's Stevenson Hall on Sheldon Jackson campus. Mm. It is huge. It's a symbol, and it truly made the next chapter and the dreams a reality.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on taking it that far to that place. And we really look forward to having musicians. We'll have musicians on the morning interview regularly between now and June 28th. Thank you so much again for coming in, and enjoy your performances this week.
Thanks, Emily. You.